It's an embarrassment unlike any other.
What happened?
Not the tracksuit. Mm. Because you don't really have control over it.
No.
Even though there are plenty of people who are going to try and argue otherwise. And the fact is, this is going to happen to every parent.
Yeah. I think so.
Babes. Well, let me, how do they
put it? Out of the mouth of babes.
Come the truest of. Bleh.
Like every one of these things I did as a kid. Mm-hmm. They still remind me of those things I did as a kid. And I wasn't even an a-hole yet.
Yes, because it is...
innocent.
No, but it's horrific when it happens as a parent.
But it's things kids pick up that they think is normal. Like this is, that's what you call that?
This one is so bad, however,
yeah,
that Kimmy knows two people who have decided to self-ban from one specific place.
No kidding.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So, Kimmy, you got a couple of friends.
Yep.
With a little one. How old is this little one?
So, the little one now is probably like 5-ish.
Oh, okay.
Adorable.
4 or 5.
Dangerous.
Right. Yeah.
Dangerous.
Yeah,
yeah.
5 is dangerous. Yeah. Because 3, 4, 5-year-olds are just starting to be aware of the world.
Oh, but this happened a year or two ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
So maybe a little bit younger.
3, 4,
when
5.
It happened.
Right. So we're 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're aware of the world. Uh-huh. They start to understand that they are people and that they can interact with other folks.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is they have no filter.
Right.
And that's what got your friends.
They're like
here.
Little drunks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you nailed it. And that's what got your friends in trouble here?
Yeah, so we were talking with our friends. Somehow we were talking about like our favorite diners to go to, and we brought up one in particular, and they go, oh, we can't go back there. Like, we love that place, but we can't go back.
What happened?
And I'm like, oh, why did you get, thinking like they got bad food or something terrible happened where, like, you know, they got grossed out, couldn't go back again. They go, well, like probably about 2 years ago when their little one was, you know, how kids like learn new words and people laugh at it because they think it's cute. So the kid just keeps saying the word over and over. Well, the word of the day for their daughter was schnoz.
Oh, big nose.
So,
No.
They go and it's, you know, it's busy time. So they have a waitress that's kind of running around. And they're like, we couldn't tell if she was kind of having a bad day already or what the story was. But we were just trying to like get in and out as fast as possible. And so they're done with their meal. Their waitress comes over to ask, is there anything else you want before she brings a check? And their daughter looked this woman in the face and goes, Mommy, she's got a schnoz, and then proceeded to say it like 2 or 3 more times before this woman left.
To her big ass schnoz, right in front of her schnoz.
And
so did she. She had a blower.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was enough.
You can't hide the hook.
Where this kid, it stood out, and this kid had to say it out loud. So my friend was like apologizing, kind of. She's like, I didn't know whether to ignore it, make a big deal. I'm trying to say sorry. And the woman's like, that's okay. Walked away. And then another waitress brought them their check.
Oh, no.
They re-schnozzed.
So she was like, I don't know if my daughter made this woman cry or need a break or what the story was. But she's like, we have not been back there since. She's like, I can't go back to that place and look, if that woman still works there, look her in the face.
Because of the schnoz.
Yeah, I don't even know if she would remember us or not, but just based on how their own embarrassment at the whole situation, they have avoided this diner for the last 2 years.
All right, let me ask a question.
Yeah.
And the phone number is 252-WCMF. In that situation, is it on the waitress for getting offended?
And she doesn't even know if the waitress was offended.
But let's say
she was.
Or if
this was just a situation where she got busy, so she didn't bring the check back.
Well, I mean, it bothered your friend enough where she noticed that the waitress did not bring the check.
Yeah.
If the waitress was offended, Tommy, is that inappropriate?
I mean, come on. It's just a little kid. And you know you got the blower, honey.
But we talked about the honesty of the kid. And maybe you're not mad at the kid, but it's a kid pointing out something that kid found obvious, which could hurt.
Yeah.
It would. It's not good.
Well,
it
you got the toucan face. The bird.
The kid's 3. You're a grown-ass man. I know what a toucan is, stupid. Did you explain what a toucan was?
Yeah, it's the bird.
I got it. Okay. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. If you are a parent, if you have children, this will happen to you at some point in your life. Your kid will say something in public to someone within earshot of a bunch of people, and you want to die.
Yeah.
You want to dig a hole. You want to crawl in said hole, and you want to die. And it's not just the judgment from that one person. When it happens, you feel judgment from every single human being that is within earshot of you. Because
You just got exposed.
But what did you get exposed for?
Well, like the kid picked up the word schnoz, which means you were talking about somebody with a big blower, right? Like, I got in trouble as a kid because my parents talked about how one of my aunts was poor. And then I brought it up to her because she had broke things in her house. And I even said, so we're staying at my aunt's house, and I'm a kid from Jersey, right? We're up here in Auburn.
Uh-huh. You know, you're dressed like it, I guess.
Yeah. So I even said, it was my Aunt Dot. She tells the story all the time. We're in her house, and, you know, she had like eight kids. It was like a rundown house. So I didn't get it. So I said, someone was broken. I said, well, why don't you fix it? She goes, well, honey, we don't have any money. And I said, well, just ask my dad. He says he's always got money. He brags about all the money he's got all the time. Just ask him. He'll give you money. Yeah. So, like, I not only called her poor, I also blew on my dad for being some pompous rich guy saying he's got all this money.
Was your aunt offended by this?
She tells the story cute.
Okay, all right.
But then my dad had a buddy that he was like, he was kind of like your dad and my dad. You know, they thought everything was funny, even when they made fun of people.
Sure, sure, sure.
So he always called his wife Thing. He never called her by her name.
Thing?
So, like, Thing.
Okay.
Like, he go, all right, Thing, we're leaving. Hey, Thing, go get me this. Hey, Thing, do that. So they're leaving one day, and I, you know how they always tell you, I got to be polite and say goodbye to everybody. And I said, goodbye, Miss Thing. It's very nice meeting you. Like, they thought that was the funniest goddamn thing that I was called, that I picked up on it, that you just called her Thing.
Well,
she was hurt.
Wait, it bothered her that you said it, but not her husband?
Because he says it so much that the little kid thought that was her actual name.
Okay.
Like, it dawned on her, man. Like, what a fool this guy is making me out to be. Well, my husband.
Along with learning why Tommy is the way he is based on these two stories. Right? But so there's two ways this could happen.
Yeah.
Is that your kid picks up on something you're saying.
Right.
And they repeat it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Or your kid asks a genuine question about something they've never seen before.
Yes.
And that can also become a problem, 252-WCMF, because when this happened with me, oh my God. So my daughter, Claire, my youngest, she was like 6 or 7 at the time, and we had taken a trip to New York City to let the kids see New York right after Christmas. So we took the Amtrak down.
Yeah.
Fun little experience. We're getting on the train to go back. And they told her before they got on the train, there would be a food cart. She was all excited because I think she thought it would be like the Polar Express, right? Well, we board the train. Turns out there's no food cart.
Oh.
And she would not let it go. And she keeps asking me about it. And she said, Daddy, who can I talk to? Daddy, can you ask somebody? So I go, there's no food cart. It's over. Walking down the aisle before the train's about to leave, there is an Orthodox Jewish man.
Yeah.
He's got the hat. He's got the curly hair.
Right.
He's got the button-up shirt, tie, jacket, all this stuff. Now, my daughter is sitting across the aisle with her sister. I cannot get to her. My youngest, at 6 years old, taps this man on the shoulder and goes, excuse me, is there a dining car on this train? She thought he was the conductor of the train.
Oh, because he got almost like an outfit.
No. Yes,
like a uniform.
I realize as she says it, she'd never seen anyone that looked like that before. She didn't know what Orthodox Judaism was.
He just looked dressed up.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And the guy did not understand what was happening.
Yeah.
So then I had to explain to him that she thought, based on his religious beliefs, that he was driving the train.
Worked for Amtrak.
And he was not amused.
Receptive to that.
And then he proceeds to sit right behind us for a 6.5 hour train. There was no other open seat on the train. I wanted to die. Well. I wanted to die.
That has to happen a lot when kids see something for the first time or something they've never seen before. It's like a way of processing it. They don't understand why asking a question would be offensive to anybody.
Well, like, so I have a friend of mine who has a son with Down syndrome.
Okay.
Right? And I don't know if this is common with folks that have family members that are, you know, disabled or different. But he says all the time that he will see kids that just stare wide-eyed at his son. Because, again, like,
they're just kids.
Yes, and they've never had an experience with anything like this before.
So,
exactly, right? And, I mean, you know, I guess if it happens a lot, you find ways to deal with it where it's not going to offend you.
Yeah.
I'm guessing most Orthodox Jewish people don't get asked if they're train conductors on a regular
basis. Yeah,
probably
true.
Not. Probably not.
252-WCMF. Kimmy's friends have banned themselves from a diner.
Self-ban.
After their daughter. Daughter? Son?
Yeah, daughter.
Looked at a waitress who apparently had a big nose and said, wow, look at that schnoz.
Yeah.
What a schnoz.
What a schnoz. The waitress, at the end of the meal, did not bring them their check. Somebody else did. We got Facebook messages coming in. We like to say men call, women write.
Yeah.
Lauren writes us, this just happened. I was paying for groceries.
Yeah.
And was leaving when security stopped me, pointed out that my 3-year-old son put a bunch of candy in my purse. They laughed about it, but it happened in front of everyone leaving, and it was very embarrassing. That has to be the most common one, right?
Kids grabbing stuff.
Your kid just, raised a thief.
Yeah, but they don't know.
Understood, but there are those people that will judge you for that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Where'd they learn that from?
Your child obviously picked it up from somewhere, and you never taught them the papers. It also announces to the world you were not paying attention to your child.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
Do you feel guilt as a parent when something like that happens? Because especially like I'm thinking with my friend's case, like they kind of encouraged the schnoz thing because they thought it was funny for a while.
Yeah.
You know, until it bit them in the ass. So it was like they were more mad at themselves than anything. Like we did this to ourselves.
You got busted.
Yeah. But that's usually a first kid mistake.
Yeah.
Because you don't fully understand how wide open your kid's going to be when they get out in public.
Mm-hmm.
And it all of a sudden happens that your kid is aware that people pay attention to them. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right? It has to happen more with people that have very harsh opinions about things that kids pick up on.
Ooh.
Because my father was like that. So my father would be at a restaurant, and he would see like a fat person over there. Right? And he'd go, see, that's what happens when you eat too much bread. So my sister picked up on that. And sent it to my Aunt Catherine one time, who was morbidly obese. And she was like, you shouldn't eat so much bread. That's why you're fat. To her face. And she was like a little kid. Like, she doesn't even remember saying it. But it didn't stop my father from still saying it. He thought it was funny. And he's right. You got to lay off the car.
Well, yeah, okay, fine. You don't say it to somebody's face.
That's bad if he didn't learn his lesson. Double
no,
down.
He thought it was funny.
After seeing somebody's feelings get
You know what's funny about this whole thing?
What is that?
Right? Like, you know, your story is unique, Kimmy, because it's mom and dad together at the same time.
Yeah.
The judgment from other people when your kid does or says something embarrassing tends to change based on who's with the kids. Because dads are definitely cut more slack when stuff like this happens in their presence.
Okay.
And I have found in my journey here, and if I'm wrong, tell me, other people don't judge dads as harshly when their kids act out or do something embarrassing. It's almost like dad just having the kids out is something they should be commended for.
Yes.
Wow, what a great man. Giving mom a break today, are you?
Doing his best.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Where like moms...
Yeah.
Moms, on the other hand, that kid needs to be clean, well-behaved.
I would never as a mother.
Exactly, right? If they cannot scream, they cannot cry. Yeah. The kid needs to be next to them. And if any of that stuff goes wrong, what a terrible, terrible mom.
I think you're right.
I mean, look, I benefited from it.
Yeah.
It's not fair. It sucks.
Take it.
But it works.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, would you say that dads get a little bit more judgment if they're doing something dangerous?
No, because I think it's expected.
Okay.
I mean, because here's for some reason, and it's mostly the older set.
Yeah.
They look at fathers as inept parents.
Okay.
Right? So, like, you're a bad father, but, I mean, you were already a bad father.
You're a backup. You're a JV squad.
You're the Frank Reich of this situation. You brought up heavy people.
Yeah.
We got more Facebook messages coming in. Dave writes us, when my son was 5, he told my now past mother-in-law that she should stop eating so much so they could play outside more.
It's like the harshest dietitian.
And out of innocence, because he wants to go play. Okay.
And the kid's right.
So Dave goes on, when my son was 5, he told my now past mother-in-law she should stop eating so
much. By the way, she passed.
Everyone dies. Like you.
Not at 37.
4 hours a day. A CMF. Dave goes on, I heard it and pretended I didn't. My wife heard it and had to go into damage control with her mom.
Yeah, I would definitely pretend I didn't hear it. If I'm the parent or like grandparent, I'm going to, because you know, I got the hearing aids.
Yeah.
I didn't catch it.
Here's the problem though.
What?
If you knee jerk react, like if you like turn your head or go, you have to say something, and there's no way to not read you.
Yeah.
No one is cool enough to just sit through that and pretend they didn't hear it.
All right. Watch your neck.
252 WCMF, folks, been waiting on hold. Let's talk to Victor. Hey, Victor, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys.
Yo.
So I did this as a kid. My father spoke Italian to us a lot. I don't really speak it very well anymore, but we were at this petting zoo, and there was this lady with a dress on, and I had said something. I can't even remember if it's pronounced correctly now because – it was called Talia Kashi, I believe it's called, it says, and it means look at her legs. To my father, And she spoke Italian.
Oh!
Oh!
Yeah, I was like 8 or 9 years old, and everybody had a laugh about it, but I could still remember it very clearly.
That's what happens when you go to the one petting zoo in Gates.
Yeah, and you got a tight clipper.
That's right. Good times, man. Good memories.
Victor, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. I mean, look, going back to that whole is it on the woman
and
initially for being offended by the schnoz comment. I mean, you're right, Kimmy. If some kid looks at you and just brutally cuts you down.
If that was like your breaking point of the day, I get it. It's just like, I didn't need that too, coming from a 3-year-old.
And yeah, what do you...
Because again, it's that kid being honest. So you can't even say, it would almost hurt less if it was somebody being mean to you or somebody doing it out of anger because they didn't like you.
I got it.
This was just a kid straight up telling you what they saw.
You're right. It's not even like you could like give me, oh, well, you're 3. What do you know?
Right. There's no comeback.
You're an ugly baby. This is a bit of a paradox.
What happened?
Well, this man's job is to fight fires.
Yeah.
And if the allegations here are true, he really likes to fight fires. So much so, there weren't enough fires in his mind for him to fight. Because if you want to put out a fire,
and
there are no fires... Well, the solution in this man's head
seemed
pretty simple.
Okay.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. A 19-year-old man has been arrested in Ontario County after police say he started a fire at an apartment complex.
Oh, Jesus.
And this man, according to police, say he set a dumpster on fire in Clifton Springs.
Yeah.
He's been charged with fifth-degree arson. He's got a court date coming up. And Tommy, on the surface, although not great.
Yeah, it's his motivation.
Well, yeah, this isn't the first story we see
of
a guy that likes to start fires. What makes the story more complicated, however, the 19-year-old man is a firefighter.
So it was set right.
He knew how to make that thing burn.
Yeah, you could argue that, yeah. And what makes the story more interesting, the 19-year-old who police say started the fire also responded to the fire to help put it out.
Okay, so he was on duty as well.
Or it was a volunteer thing.
Either way.
He responded.
He had to go suit up.
He set the fire, then responded to the fire to put it out. Wow, Dan's the first one here!
What a weird thing to do.
Go ahead.
Bored?
Well, okay, so put a pin in there, because we're going to loop back around. This has caused a major headache for the Clifton Springs Fire Department.
Yeah.
They were forced to put out a statement saying that they did a full background check on the kid, and nothing indicated that he had any inclination to start fires.
Yeah.
They also say if he is convicted, he will no longer be a firefighter.
Yeah, I would figure you don't even have to say that part. Yeah. Okay.
So you said you were confused by this.
But yeah, like, why? Unless he was just bored.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense.
It turns out,
you
ready for this?
Yeah.
This is a phenomenon that happens way more than you think it does.
With firemen.
Yes. On average, nationwide, there are about 100 firefighters convicted of arson annually.
Damn.
And here's the thing. That's a tiny percentage compared to all the firefighters.
That's a lot more than I would have thought, though, that are actual firefighters.
Yes. But strange.
Yeah.
So there is a whole field that study firefighters who start fires.
They're arsonists.
Kind of. So they break down these firefighters who start fires into 3 different classifications.
All right.
There are the folks who get into firefighting because they are fascinated by fires themselves.
Okay.
So they do it, so that leads to them starting fires.
Closer to the fire.
You got it. There are firefighters who start fires so they can have action to go to said fires.
All right.
They crave that.
Yep, they call that the hero complex. And then there are folks who like to start fires, firefighters, and get jobs as firefighters to look above suspicion.
So they're pyros.
Yes. They don't really want to be firefighters per
se. Nobody will suspect me.
Exactly. You got it. So if the allegations are true of these 3 folks, the folks that start them because they're fascinated by fires, the firefighters who start them so they can be heroes, or the firefighters who are only firefighters because they are pyromaniacs, which one would this kid be if the allegations are true?
I guess you'd call him a pyromaniac because he set a fire for no reason just to put it out.
But the fact that he showed up on scene leads to the hero complex to me.
I'm thinking hero complex only because I'm guessing, you know, it's a small town, probably not a whole lot of action all the time. Maybe it's been a while since you got to do anything. Or, I mean, if he's that young, maybe he's never seen anything like that. So maybe he's pushing things along to get his practice in. I don't know.
So more fun facts.
What's that?
An FBI study into this phenomenon found that arson cases were more likely in fire department programs designed for younger participants.
So it's on the younger set do this?
Yes. So this kid was 19 in the story. But specifically, they say apprentice programs, youth groups, and auxiliary firefighting programs for teens had the highest rate of arson cases.
So it sounds like they get in because they're arsonists almost.
Or
to some degree.
Could be that. Or again, they want to have action.
Right.
And they go set these fires so people will look at them as heroes.
Mm. Yeah, and I guess if you're setting fires, it's you're not afraid of it. So I could see why you'd be drawn to a job where you can't be afraid of it.
I mean, you're excited by it. That's what a pyromaniac is, right? So here's the thing. If you want to find all the young pyromaniacs in your community, set up a fake auxiliary youth fire department. Go. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, talking about this 19-year-old kid out in Clifton Springs in Ontario County. He's accused of setting a fire at a dumpster in an apartment complex, but he's a firefighter. He also responded to put the fire out. Police have arrested him, charged him with fifth-degree arson. If he's convicted, Clifton Springs Fire Department says he's gone.
Yeah.
Even more amazing, Tom.
Whatever.
They also found that with the younger firefighters, there were more likely to be arson cases involving multiple firefighters.
Oh, so they're in it together?
Yes.
Okay.
They have a crew?
Yes, they got together and decided they were going to start fires. Like, not one person in the group stood up and said, hey, maybe this isn't the best idea.
So they find each other.
Unless they're just thinking like, well, we're setting something on fire. It's not going to hurt. It's a controlled fire. I don't know. Because in this case, it was a dumpster fire.
It was a dumpster fire. Much like this show, yes.
They don't think they're hurting anybody by doing it. Maybe that's how they justify it.
Okay, but anybody, look, I'm not a firefighter. Yeah. My godfather
No, I'm saying, I'm not encouraging starting fires.
No, but the point I'm making is, my godfather was a fire investigator with the Rochester Fire Department for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, any fire you start has the potential to catch other things on fire.
It can get away from it.
Yeah, so like the idea.
Things catch.
You would
you're
know
right.
that. Yeah.
Exactly. So like the idea, like with some of these kids, like, I'll just start this fire and it'll be fine. Well, no. I mean, you know, everything can be set on fire if the wind blows the right way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you have any sympathy for this kid?
I mean, he's a dumb kid. But yeah, I mean, in a way I do, I guess.
I think because
I mean, at 19, I did dumb stuff.
I think the age makes me have a little bit more sympathy for him than an adult, like a grown-ass person in the situation who's been around for a while, especially this job.
Okay. I this may be wrong thinking here, but I don't think of him as a sicko. But if the guy was my age, that's a straight-up sicko to me.
Okay. Now, I get that.
I think at 19, you learn a hard lesson.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. Now, I understand, I guess, where you guys are coming from, that we all make mistakes as kids.
Yes.
But the first thing you learn as a child is fire bad.
Yes, I understand.
Fire bad. Like, I don't know how you could look at this kid if the allegations are true and be like, oh, it was just about, you knew you're part of the team that fights the fires.
I know, but you're just getting into the game.
And you're out. If you're convicted, it was a quick run if you actually set the fire.
And I could see being naive enough to think, nobody's ever going to know I started this.
Okay, but that's also not a good example of like, hey, I'm starting the fire and I won't get caught. Like, God forbid, you know, a spark ends up with that apartment. People could have died.
I know, but I did dumb things that, God forbid, if they went south, would have been really bad.
Okay, I've done a lot of dumb things in my life. The one, like, this is how dumb this is.
Yeah.
You and I, the two dumbest young men in America, never intentionally started a fire somewhere where there shouldn't have been fire.
No, but I remember as a kid, we were watching these movies with a buddy of mine, and they were throwing, like, it was like a war movie, and they were making those Molotov cocktails. And then they were showing you in the movie how you make it. I'm like, man, we got all this stuff here, including empty Coke bottles. So I remember me and this kid, we made Molotov cocktails, and then we went to a construction site. We were lighting them on fire and just chucking them at cement in the middle of a construction site.
Uh-huh.
Now, I was probably 11.
Big difference!
But, you know, I could have set the whole damn place on fire. But, you know, I'm just a dumb kid. But I could see myself I did dumb stuff when I was 34.
Yes, okay. But again, you did dumb stuff. You never set something on fire. And even that story isn't the right comparison. It would be like if you were sent through military training.
Mm-hmm.
You saw how bad
use
of flamethrower Molotov cocktail could be. And you went, hey, you know, it'd be pretty cool.
I'm dying to know how long it took them to figure out that this kid was the one that started the fire.
If the allegations are true.
If the allegations are true. Because I want to know what the interaction was when they showed up to the fire. Like, was he the one that was like, I'm taking the lead here. This is my turn.
I'm here first.
Yeah. And then, like, kind of acted like a hero, like he put out the fire.
It's a great question. So, like, I'm not sure if Clifton Springs is paid or volunteer. I'm going to make an assumption because it's a small town. It's a lot of volunteers. But I could be wrong. I'll say that out loud. Because, Kimmy, with some of those volunteer fire services, some of those guys will go directly to the fire, right? Like, they don't go to the firehouse, they'll go to the fire.
Yeah, and I think that, they always have their gear on them at all times.
So, I mean, was that
They just jump in their car and
go. Oh, so maybe he was already, he just showed up. They're like, how'd you get here so fast?
I mean, is that, but then it gets Clifton Springs, you can get everywhere pretty
fast.
Yeah,
I wouldn't think that would look suspicious. You know what I mean?
It looks like it started right over here with this accelerant.
Yeah, if you know too much too fast.
You know, you do have to wonder, though.
What's that?
Folks that get into firefighting, what grasp they have on what the job is really like before they start. Because if you watch any TV show or movie that involves firefighters, and we know that those movies, you know, like war movies inspire folks to join the service, cop shows inspire cops. Okay, I would assume it's the same with firefighters. Those shows show these firefighters constantly going out, putting themselves in dangerous situations for the sake of the community. But Kimmy, with your husband doing this for a living, you know that's not really reality.
No. Like, sometimes there's a stretch where it's kind of quiet, nothing's going on, then all of a sudden you're busy for like three straight days. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you never know what you're going to get.
And even the calls, I mean, Kimmy, like, what percentage of calls do you think your husband gets involve actual firefighting?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's not every call that's for, most of the calls you're going out is just to check on something and it turns out to not be all that much, but you still have to go check.
And
you
get on fire.
Yeah, you get,
EMT calls, stuff like that, trouble breathing.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, granted, you learn along the way. That's what going through the academy and taking all those tests is for, right? But, like, I am here to argue that the last 50 years of military, firefighting, and police officer shows have destroyed what people really think about that job. What their job actually is.
It turns out there's not stuff blowing up all the time.
Yes. Like,
it's that constant action of pretty girls.
My little one loves this show, 911. It's the worst show on
TV. That's the one that's in every town. Right? Chicago, so, L.A.
There's a lot in Chicago for some reason.
Sydney, Australia.
The one she watches is in L.A.
Okay.
Right? And it is the dumbest show. I will openly criticize my daughter to her face for liking this show.
Yeah.
Because every 5 minutes, they're going to the
into like a plane crash.
Oh, Kimmy, there was one episode where a detective had to bring a convicted killer on a plane in to testify against somebody else.
Yeah.
The plane, the wing blew off. There was a hole in it. The firefighters had to, like, shut down the freeway
of
Los Angeles.
They're doing things that are, like, not even in their job.
Wait, it landed on the freeway?
You know? It landed on the freeway.
With one wing.
And one of the pilots had had a heart attack, so she had to land it by herself. It was the most. Oh, by the way, she's also married to one of the firefighters that just happens to respond to the. Shut up! Shut up! I mean, in a strange way. Tommy, with all the training you get as a firefighter, the accolades the community gives you, the boredom that can come with sitting around waiting to do something, it all makes sense that this phenomenon of firefighters.
Because you sign up for action.
Exactly.
You're not feeling it,
there's no action. So I guess you gotta go find some action. So the moral of the story.
What's that?
Well, there's a couple.
All right, what's that?
One, don't start fires.
I mean, write that down.
Two, you're still a hero for just
serving.
Yeah. Three, I mean, look, I know that the excitement of like putting yourself in a situation is good, but the less fires you got to go run into, that's probably.
Things are good.
Yeah.
All right,
let's take a break. Oh, you think you hate this guy now?
What happened?
If this pans out, he has the potential to be the greatest villain in Bill's history. A villain, if you will.
Damn.
Because it's one thing to spurn a team.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to be disrespectful to our baby boy.
Yeah.
But to then turn around
and
see this team again twice a year out of this city. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. We'll jump right into it. Yesterday.
Yeah.
Former Buffalo Bills receiver Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, what'd he do?
Had a meeting with the New England Patriots.
Oh.
So he was in New England meeting with the team face-to-face. This is his first free agent visit of the offseason, which is very surprising.
Why is that?
Well, it seems maybe things have not gone the way that he planned. I mean, so look, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is on the wrong side of 30.
Yeah.
He's recovering from a major knee injury.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot of red flags. Mm-hmm. There. I'm sure, Kimmy, Stephon Diggs wants a ring.
So he's looking for some money?
A ring. No, not money.
I thought
you
said a ring.
Oh. Okay, no, I'm sorry. My apologies. Right. No, I'm sure he wants money, but at this stage of his career, he's made a whole bunch of money from a couple of different teams.
Yeah. He wants to win. That's, I think, why he left Buffalo, really.
Exactly. Yeah. And, Kimmy, I'm sure going into last season, he thought if things didn't work out in Houston, he would latch on easily to a team like Kansas City, Baltimore, the Chargers, San Francisco, get a couple shots at a championship. Mm. The fact, Tommy, that he is taking his first ever free agent meeting this season with the New England Patriots lets you know that they are the only team that's reached out to him so far. And how slim the pickings might be.
So he's hit bottom.
I don't know if he's hit bottom. Bottom would be he's too expensive for the Patriots.
Yeah.
So now nobody really wants him. There's no line to get the stuff on Diggs.
I mean, look, this is his first free agent visit. Right. That's what that tells me.
So he's shopping himself.
Yes. Because, like, look, the Patriots next season should be better.
Mm.
But that's not saying much compared to what they were. I mean,
yeah, they were horrible.
Like, best case scenario, the Patriots won't be contending until he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, he won't be around if they turn it around.
Okay, I know you love Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
You love Stephon Diggs. He's super cool. He loves his tracksuits.
Yeah.
Would you hate him if he became a New England Patriot?
No, not at all. I mean, first of all, he's no threat. But to your point,
what are you talking about? He had a decent game against the Bills in Houston.
Okay, but, like, Houston was a better team.
Okay.
I mean, the Patriots just look like a disaster.
Sure.
I thought he was going to go to Miami.
Oh, no, that would be
Because he's a Miami guy. He would fit right in. I could see him in Miami with his Ferrari and his lifestyle. That I could see.
Like, if I was telling you this story, he was going to Miami, he was meeting with Miami, I'd be laughing about it. And I'm not scared of the Patriots, but there's just something about you screwed over Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Right? You go and you play in Houston thinking that's going to be your thing. Yeah. Things collapse terribly for you, and your next move is to go to a division rival.
And we've seen other guys do this, and it, especially recently, and they kind of go and disappear for a little while.
Yeah, that has
especially
happened.
Especially in Miami. But I do think that Stephon Diggs also wants to go somewhere where he can be the boss, and New England is going to probably be that place for him.
You think he's going to be the boss?
Well, that's why I think – well, he thinks he is.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they have a young quarterback. I think that's also kind of what he's looking for.
Okay.
I think that's what he thought the Houston situation would be.
Kind of what he had in Buffalo when he first came over, right? And Josh was young.
How'd that work out?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But here's the thing. Okay, now I get what you're saying from a quarterback point of view, but for those who don't know, the New England Patriots have a new head coach this season, former New England Patriot player Mike Vrabel. He was the head coach.
Oh, I remember that dude.
Yeah, he was the coach of the Titans for all those years.
Mm.
That guy's no nonsense. Like, he's not going to put up with what, you know, McDermott allowed to happen up until the end, and then what D'Amico Ryans at Houston, I'm sure, was okay with.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
By the way, does Stephon Diggs only play for jacked coaches?
Well, there's a lot of jacked coaches these days.
Yeah, I guess there are
more. Yeah, the Vince Lombardis and the Tunas are gone.
Yeah.
The blubbery coach.
Have you not seen Andy Reid? I mean,
he's the last of it, and get a good look while he's around, bro, because that dude is not making 80 years.
All right, Kimmy, would Stephon Diggs signing with the New England Patriots make him the ultimate Bills villain?
I think if he went to the Chiefs right now, that would make him more of a villain.
You think
even if he didn't play with the Chiefs, it's just the fact that you went to the Chiefs to be on a winning team, even if, and you didn't care if you were riding the bench to get there.
Okay, but see, we've seen that happen twice with former Bills. LeSean McCoy did that, won a Super Bowl ring, but he didn't play in the Super Bowl. Sammy Watkins.
With a few Bills,
I forgot old Sammy.
Sammy Watkins signed with the Chiefs for a little while. By the way, he kept getting paid over and over again, despite the fact that his career was a massive disappointment.
Yeah, but I can always appreciate those guys. They figure out how to get their money.
Yeah, sure.
But the one thing I love about Stephon Diggs.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go back to Tommy's love affair with Stephon.
No, but I'm just saying, like, and I know you hate this, but. Because, you know, you keep going, like, how'd that work out? How'd that work out for you?
Yeah.
He's that guy that never thinks it's his fault.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no, it's a,
I helped you, and you blew it with me, man. That's what I love about him. It's never going to be his fault. He's never going to take blame for anything.
We're getting a secret glimpse into why Tommy loves him, because Tommy...
looking into a mirror.
Exactly. You think you're 5'5", white Stephon Diggs.
That'd be pretty cool if I was.
I love how you started to talk like Matthew McConaughey in your Texas Longhorns tracksuit today. Be pretty cool about
it. Hey.
All right.
You know what I love about tracksuits?
What's that?
I keep sitting here and they keep staying more comfortable. 252WCMF. Stephon Diggs had his first official free agency meeting with the New England Patriots yesterday. I hope it happens. I want it to happen.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's not going to hurt you. I mean, that
again, don't say that.
We don't know how he's going to look when he comes back.
Division games are always a toss-up, man.
But he could be – he's old. He's banged up.
Look, you get two more cracks at him at minimum next year. He'd also have to come to Buffalo next season, and I want that bad. Just to see how the crowd reacts when he...
But he was really good with the kids and the crowd.
Yeah, but you weren't really good with our baby boy.
It's all about the way you leave.
Oh.
She's right. Look, maybe 10, 15 years from now, it's water under the bridge.
When they bring him back.
Yeah, I mean, look, even the ultimate legends of the franchise, you know, Thurman Thomas went and played for Miami. Andre Reed, mother effed this franchise up and down for the last 3 years he was here. Bruce Smith goes and gets the record in Washington. Those guys are welcome back with open arms.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
You think he left too bad taste?
I don't think
he did, but I think what I'm saying is, like, a decade from now, it's possible. But just remember the good times. That's fine. But right now, I want you, and I want you in my house. You in my house.
He's just too charming to me to hate.
Yeah, and I don't think he said anything that's going to have long lasting effects just yet. You know.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
It's not like he took subtle shots, but nothing where he was directly calling out anybody. I mean, we kind of knew that they were kind of going back and forth.
And I can't hate a good-looking guy.
But it wasn't anything terrible.
I can't hate a good... He's a good-looking guy.
It bothers me how much you love him.
I don't know. You don't think he's a good-looking guy?
Sure, he's a good-looking guy. Bless you. But... What does that have to do with...
It's easier to, like...
Well, you also are wearing something you could see him wearing, like, at a New York Fashion Week.
You think
show.
That would... No, that would be New Jersey Fashion Week.
I take it. You're close enough.
Again, if you have not gotten a glimpse...
No, that's one of those tracksuits that looks cheap, but it's probably, like, $500, you know?
It looks money, but it ain't.
Yeah.
It does not look money.
It does look money.
That's what you just told
me. My pocket looks money.
I said it looks cheap, but it's probably expensive.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
You don't think that pocket is money?
It's got plenty of room to put all of your money in it.
You can put a nice wad in there.
Literally all of your money. If you have not gotten a glimpse at this week's Tommy Tracksuit Thursday, we encourage you to log on to our live stream, the Odyssey app, WCMF.com, YouTube and Twitch, The Break Room, WCMF. And again, the best part is the 1-foot by 1-foot giant white pocket on the back.
Put a nice wad in there.
Kimmy, if they want to get a glimpse of it on social media, where can they find it?
At WCMF on Twitter, at WCMF Break Room on Twitter, and our Facebook page.
All right. So go check that out.
Yes.